Welcome to The Thriving Marriage, the podcast for those who want to get their spouse back in love with them and truly thrive.
You'll learn why 95% of people don't save their marriage and the secret method no one else is talking about that will change everything for you. Are you ready?
Are you ready?
Let's turn tragedy to triumph.
Here are your hosts, international marriage experts, Mark Johnston and Heather Choate.
Welcome everyone here to the Thriving Marriage Podcast. Today we're going to be talking about communication 101, specifically for you ladies, how to feel heard by your husband, how to really improve your communication, your connection, and how to spark his interest. So I'm Heather Choate. I'm here with Mark Johnston. Now I know, Mark, you and I are both recovering from some illness that has been rampaging through our family the last few weeks. So how are you doing?
Well, I appreciate you asking. I'm feeling much better. We still have some people recovering. I don't know what it is, but this thing is just, it lingers and it hasn't been anything terrible, but you know, it lingers. But yeah, we're finally, my wife and I are starting to like feel better and get over it and all that.
Same here. So if I sound a little stuffed up, it's because I am. But we are excited to be here with you guys. Thanks for listening. And hopefully wherever you're tuning in from, you're feeling healthy and well. I just heard some feedback from a listener that she listens to us every day while she goes on a walk, which I thought was just amazing. And so thank you guys for tuning in here today and helping us achieve our mission to help thousands of couples create a thriving marriage. Now, I want to make sure you guys stay to the end today because I'm going to share with you the three phrases that can help spark his interest again. So make sure you stay to the end to get those three phrases. Before we get to that, though, we're going to share our client win of the week. I'll go ahead and share this one if that's all right.
Yeah, absolutely.
An anonymous sharer from our group. And they said, Heather, my wife served me a separation agreement a month ago, and I've been looking it over, making little edits and comments so we can go over it together first. This morning, she tells me that she doesn't want me to sign it. She said, let's wait and see what happens. We can always make a new one later on if we have to. She said that she wants back in, and this feels really good. I've actually been doing less and I thought it was giving up. Thank you and Mark for founding High Thrive and making this information and support available.
Wow. That's a big turnaround.
Big turnaround. And this is one of the first milestones that we look for as we're helping you guys and helping our clients in their relationship is that if your spouse is actively pulling away, you know, we've got a separation agreement on board here with this client as he's sharing, and that your spouse hits the pause button. So they're no longer pulling further away from you, but they actually hit the pause button and start to consider the possibility of being happy with you. So that's a huge milestone. And if you haven't gotten there yet, it just means you've missed something and we can help you get there. All right. Now over in our Facebook group, we asked you ladies, especially, what challenges are you facing when it comes to communicating with your husband? Mark, I looked over these answers. There were a lot of, you know, over 60, 70 something responses here. And I was looking for some commonalities. Mm-hmm. I found that there were a lot of very specific things to what their situation was. But a common thing that I noticed was I don't feel heard.
Yeah.
I feel ignored. I don't feel like he's listening. So raise your hand, put in the comments if you've ever felt like your husband is not really listening to you. Maybe you feel like he's, you know, one ear listening to you, maybe kind of halfway listening to you, and he's on his phone the other part of the time, or he's maybe not listening to understand. Maybe he's listening to react, right? And so you feel like you aren't very heard or understood here.
Yeah, I was looking through the comments myself and I was seeing the same thing. It's almost like, you know, why can't I communicate with my husband? I can communicate with other people, which is not my husband, but over and over again, it was like, they don't listen, they don't understand, they're not present in the conversations or whatever, some variation of that over and over again.
Yeah. A secondary theme that I saw a lot of was that he's misjudging me. He's got a negative view of me. I can't live up to his expectations. I can't do everything perfectly. And he's kind of shutting me out. And this ties in very well with our PATH process. And what we've uncovered here is that when your spouse has a negative view of you, that story really clouds the things that you say or do. And so, ladies, you might be working really hard to be a good listener yourself, to improve your communication, to try to open up some connection and rebuild some, you know, intimacy there. But if he is looking at you through the lens of a negative story or narrative, then he A, isn't going to see it, or B, he's going to see it, but he just doesn't care. That's typically what we see. And I know that sounds kind of harsh, but that's what we often see when relationships are on the verge of divorce. And so being the ICU here, we want to present some solutions and some ways that even though things might be really challenging in your marriage right now, and yes, it's specific to what you're going through. It's not a cookie cutter approach. There are some broad level overview things that we can do to improve our communication, to help you really feel heard by your husband and to help spark his interest. Absolutely. So let's dive right in.
Yeah. Now, my thought with this is, you know, like, okay, I think you and I have talked about this a little bit, Heather. Like I personally try to avoid these kind of discussions, like women talk to your men like this. And like, it's kind of this assumption that, okay, it's that same, like men are from Mars and women are from Venus sort of discussion. You know, like I know that I can't even remember when that book was really big, but that, you know, I do recall that being around, that's been around for like a long time.
Yeah. I think back 80s, 90s. Yeah.
Something like that. And I will agree. There are general differences between men and women and how you approach things. I just, for me, there's some part of me that says, well, no, you should it's much better to talk about general principles that apply to everyone, or to, rather than to shoehorn entire genders into like, this is what men do or this is what women do. But, you know, like basically what I'm saying, we recognize that all men are different, just like all women are different. We try to teach general skills that apply to either sex. Sometimes you might need a little bit of extra support communicating with your husband. That's why we have this discussion today. So I thought just like a good way to direct this discussion was just to kind of go over, yes, some stereotypical tips, but you know, I think it's, you know, for that more stereotypical husband who is maybe having a little bit hard time engaging in those kind of conversations that you want him to engage in, you know, I thought we'd just go over a bunch of tips. Before we get into those, like I'm thinking to myself, like, okay, well, why is that stereotype there? Why is the common complaint that men or husbands aren't really engaging in those conversations, aren't really listening, where, you know, most of the time you can say, I can go talk to my female friends about this. I don't know what, I'm going to put you on the spot here, Heather. What do you think it is about men that make this stereotype at least partly true?
I've heard every different theory under the sun as far as this goes. And yeah, I've heard everything from like men tune out women's voices. Like literally the frequency of our voice is something that men just like tune out because it reminds them of their mother's nagging voice. And, you know, another stereotype is women tend to nag when we don't feel heard. And so as mothers, sometimes we're nagging our kids. And then after so much of that nagging, the brain just goes, I'm just going to tune that out. And then that carries over. I've heard that theory. I've heard a theory that the frequency of our, again, it goes to the frequency of our voice is something that men don't pick up on in the same way that they do another man. Just all these different theories and studies done out there. I'm not really sure how much there is weight in any of those things, because I do know that when a man cares about his wife, he will listen. Mm-hmm. And I feel like there are more actual skills that need to be developed. There's some things that maybe women do stereotypically, again, we're talking about stereotypically or commonly, again, not every single person is going to fit this. And that's why Mark and I really don't like playing this angle. But there's a lot of things that us women do, I think, that are patterns or habits that we pick up from our mothers or from our culture that then make it hard to communicate. Mm-hmm. One of those being expecting a man to read our mind, expecting them just to know what's going on for us, expecting them to read between the lines. And somehow it seems like women are able to do that better with each other. We're able to pick up on like the subtle nuances and the implications. And men tend to just want it a little more straight. They just want it like straightforward, get to the point, tell me what you want, you know, tell me what you're trying to communicate here. And women tend to sometimes dance around that. And then we'll make up a story when they don't understand us, when they don't read our mind, that they don't care, that they're not really listening, that they don't understand us. And if he loved me, then he would just know that I want this thing, or he would know that that's really hurtful to me. And we play some mind games. So I think some of those become some barriers in helping women and men really understand each other. What are your thoughts on this, Mark?
Well, my thoughts are, kind of goes into like, what are men and women used to? And I do think that you made a good point there where, you know, women are able to navigate those like nuances a little bit better, but, you know, I think it's partly because just growing up, there's a little bit more value placed in just having casual conversation. Maybe I'm just, you know, antisocial, but, you know, there are times when I'm like, okay, you know, I'm having a conversation and, you know, it's fine. But, you know, at some point I'm like, okay, let's get to the point. Let's actually do something. And, you know, like that's another point here is like, I do feel, you know, at least I experienced this myself. I prefer to connect with people over shared activities. And I do know that many women, you know, there's a lot of enjoyment having connection over shared conversations. And I'll certainly talk with my wife over it, you know, about the things that she's interested in or vice versa. But I tend to, you know, I tend to be done with that a little bit sooner than my wife does. Mm-hmm. And I think that's, you know, when we then add on top of it, extra stresses in the relationship or some negative views, then we have bigger problems and more issues with communication. So, right. You know, a lot of the tips that we wanted to talk about today kind of go along with those sort of ideas. You know, just some inherent preferences that men or women stereotypically tend to have. You know, where the stereotype is men tend to be a little bit more straightforward and isn't quite as rewarding just to sit in a conversation. So we keep those kind of ideas in mind. So
right. Another one I just want to touch on real quick is like stereotypically men aren't as comfortable with their emotions, right? And women are maybe more comfortable expressing their emotions. One thing I saw in the group, in the comments that I saw a lot, was that he doesn't like how I'm so emotional all the time. And there seems to be some kickback that a lot of you guys are getting from your husbands about your emotions. And some of it called it complaining, or, you know, another word I'm not going to say, but when we just kind of go off emotionally on an emotional rampage, and our husband may be more like, hey, I'd rather look at this maybe more analytically. And so that's another one of those stereotypes, is that men aren't comfortable with their emotions. They don't want to share emotionally. They're not really like as emotional creatures as women are. And so that's another thing just to talk about. So let's dive in though, and let's talk about some of our tips here.
Well, and just a quick comment on that. I do, you know, my experience is that, that's absolutely right. But that, you know, most people tend to react better to people who are a bit more calm with the situation, that aren't emotionally flooding. But yes, I think you're right in that women tend to have a higher tolerance for that. Anyway, the tips, I mean, that's the whole reason why we're here. Right. And the first tip here, I think this is a good situation, just, you know, a good thing to have in here anyway, whether this is with men or women. But yeah, I think, especially with men, is discuss with him a good time to talk. I tend to see problems. Let's say that you're both coming home from work. It's the end of a stressful day, and perhaps there's expectations to be able to relax or something. If you, I see problems sometimes when women just kind of pounce on those situations, like, I want to talk about it right now. It's on my mind, and the timing just isn't good, or there isn't really clear expectations, or maybe the husband thought, okay, I thought we were just going to relax together tonight, whatever it happens to be. And so, like, a lot of these tips, but this one in particular, it's about like helping your husband to be included in all those little choices that happen in these sort of situations. So this first choice, when are we actually going to have a talk, or whether we're going to actually have a talk? I know, Heather, you've talked about this sort of dynamic quite a bit with you and your husband, Ben.
Right. Yeah, I've shared this before on the podcast. I encourage you guys to go back and listen to some of our other episodes. They're absolute gold, sharing our path process. But I've talked about how I tend to be the pursuer. He tends to be the avoider. How I tend to emotionally process externally. I'm an external processor. Ben's an internal processor. So in addition to just gender differences or gender like stereotypes or norms, we've also got differences in the way that we like to handle conflict or the way that we process emotions, all of these different elements. Right. And for me, I found that like, I will always want to push to talk right away, and I push for resolution. And Ben likes to process things and be very thoughtful about what he's going to share and how to process through whatever's going on. And so I make an invitation. Like, just the example that I use all the time is, when in the next 24 hours is a good time to talk about this? That way I know that in the next 24 hours, we will talk about it. Mm-hmm. And I let him have some say in when it's going to be a good time for him. So then he's more a part of this, and we find a way that works for both of us. So like, when we invite our spouse to talk, they're going to wonder why. And they're almost always going to go to thinking, oh no, here it comes. Oh crap. Here comes the big thing. I don't want to deal with that. Like, what is she mad about now? What did I do wrong? Am I going to be put out in the doghouse again? And so one thing that's really important to remember is, even if it's a heavy talk, even if the subject is maybe something a bit heavier, make it sound proactive, make it sound positive, make it sound warm and inviting, rather than you're in trouble and I'm going to tell you why. You know what I mean? That's going to go over a lot better in your spouse's reception to these kind of conversations. And it's going to go over a lot better. Yeah.
Well, what if it isn't something that they're doing wrong that you need to talk about?
Even then, right? It's a lot different of a place to say you're doing something wrong and you need to change, and I'm really mad at you and I'm going to come down on you about this thing, right? Versus, hey, I'm seeing some things I'd like to improve with you, and I want to take accountability for my part and talk about some solutions, right? Does that feel a lot different than, hey, we need to talk, right?
What I tell my own clients is, I say, focus on the principle that you're trying to build up rather than the problem that you're trying to get rid of. So like, even if it's something heavy that you need to talk about, even if it's some mistake, some problem that they're causing, what is the healthy principle behind, you know, like, why are you having this conversation? What's the healthy principle that you're trying to build up through this conversation? Is it that you're not feeling heard? So, okay, the principle behind that is like, hey, I want to make sure that we are both feeling heard in our relationship. I want to make sure that there's a lot more kindness in our interactions. Whatever it is, that's going to be received a lot better. You know, even if you eventually have to give them some feedback, but that's going to be received a lot better than, you're not being nice to me and you need to change what you're doing here.
Agreed.
Anyways, at least in the invitation, it's going to create the situation where, instead of them dreading the conversation, You know, it's going to be something much more easy to approach.
Right.
Yeah.
And that gives you that common goal and helps frame the conversation, which is something that we really help our clients with, because sometimes some of these big issues or these heavy conversations, they need to be handled with care. If we just go in very emotionally and reacting and kind of just emotionally vomiting everything, again, you're really not addressing the principle that you actually want healed or improved in the relationship. And so, you know, making sure that we frame the conversation so it's going to be as effective as possible. And again, that's something that we're not really taught, but it's absolutely a skill that you can learn, and it can create connective communication. So think about it, ladies. I mean, we're especially talking to women today. Would you love to come away from conversation feeling heard, feeling respected, feeling closer, feeling like trust is being restored, feeling like it's safe to be vulnerable, that you can be who you are and you're accepted for it, and that your husband can come away from the conversation feeling uplifted, feeling positive, feeling supported, feeling heard, respected, understood, appreciated, all those things. So that's the kind of conversation that you can learn how to do. It's a skill. It's not taught. It's not modeled. And if you haven't gotten this right yet, then don't shame yourself because you just haven't known. But this is something that you absolutely can learn. And the benefits are amazing. Even if you're talking about really hard, heavy things, you can actually come away feeling like a weight is lifted and that tension is being reduced, that you're getting a little bit closer each conversation, and that you're both coming away feeling better. That's the goal. If you have conversations right now, you're becoming more disconnected, more volatile, more, you come away feeling yucky, then it just means that you've missed something. So yep. Our second tip here is bring him into the conversation. Okay. Mm-hmm. Instead of just plowing through everything from your perspective, it needs to be a conversation, not just a dialogue, you know, a monologue, but truly a dialogue. And something that's really great to help you with this is start the conversation off with, you know, a more general question to get engaged with the topic. So an example of this, if you're talking about the state of the relationship and you're asking him how he thinks everything, you know, ask him, you know, how do you think everything is going between you? If you're wondering, you know, about being heard, you're feeling not really heard, you can ask him, do you feel heard in our relationship? Do you feel understood? And kind of opening things up with a general question.
Yeah, it's a much better way of getting into the topic rather than starting off with the accusations or the problems. You don't want to use leading questions here or questions that assume the negative. You're trying to get him engaged rather than trying to explain things. So if you went into this and say, why do you think we're doing so terrible? What's wrong with us? Dear person over there, it's going to set the mood for the conversation. But if you're like, hey, you know, I've been thinking about our relationship and I want to know how you think that we're doing here, that's going to be a much more engaging thing. And like the stereotype, we're going to go back to stereotypes. Like I truly do believe, I think women are probably going to be a little bit better equipped to just naturally get engaged in these conversations. But yeah, if you're wanting your husband engaged with you, then you need to get him engaged. You might need to pull him along a little bit more. And this is part of it. You need to put in some effort to help him to be a bit more engaged if conversations are problematic. Like I said, I think men are a bit more complacent with relationship issues. And so like if this question might be very telling, if you're asking them how, you know, what they think about the state of the relationship, how they think things are going, whether they feel heard, chances are, you know, they might not even see the problem. And this is going to be very telling to see, hey, is there some better communication needed? Are they unhappy with things? And you know, this, like I said, the stereotype might be that they might not be aware. So absolutely, I think this is a great place to start with these sort of conversations. Even beyond that, you know, keeping this principle going is to, you know, I think there's room for you to share, but to I think it's going to be important for you to keep asking questions and then keep asking further questions. I mean, this is just good general advice anyway for any sort of conversation when someone's a little bit quieter, you know, but certainly for men who are a little, who are going to be a little bit less engaged, less involved in a conversation, you might need to perhaps, I don't know, carry the weight a little bit. That sounds bad to me, but maybe it's true.
One of the things that I love that we do, Mark, is we always assess exactly where your marriage is at and where your communication is at.
Yeah.
I do this often with you guys on masterclasses. We'll do kind of a checkpoint, get your pulse of how your communication's going currently, because it's a big indicator of other deeper issues going on. One of the things that is a big mistake is to push deep issues too soon. And so while we're talking about, you know, how to frame a conversation around maybe a heavier topic or an issue that you want to address, I just want to put this out there that it's really important that you do this at the right time for your relationship. If your spouse is still actively pushing for divorce or separation or towards someone else, I love you, but I'm not in love with you, then yes, you may need to address some of these deeper issues, but it may not be the right time. Or there's a maybe not such a big of an issue that we can start you with. That's one of the things that we really work on with clients, is knowing when is it the right time to approach this topic? And when is it the right time to have this conversation? And then how can we have every interaction that you have with each other as effective as possible and as connective as possible? So Mark, what have you seen as far as that goes of, you know, maybe a woman pushing her husband to try to resolve all these issues and the relationship just isn't ready for that yet?
Well, I mean, in terms of perhaps examples, obviously it'd be great, you know, like let's say that there's something like an affair going on. Obviously it'd be great to resolve an affair as soon as it's found out and and fix everything immediately. But sometimes, like, even just kind of looking at things that lead up to stuff like that might be needed. And like what you're asking about here is, like, sometimes you can't really press the deep issues right away. You might need to build up to some of those bigger problems. And this certainly is, you know, connects to this tip here about inviting your partner into the conversation. Is if you really just start off in the deep end, it may not go anywhere. If you're rather than, you know, like if you are more gradually stepping into the conversation and, you know, trying to get them engaged and perhaps discussing some of the, you know, lighter issues, at least at first, it's going to be a much easier way to keep your husband, you know, on in the conversation and engaged with you and willing to continue to talk things out.
Yeah. Awesome. So the same principle applies, but the depth of what you're going to be maybe addressing is going to be varied. I just wanted to bring that up. Sure. So it's really about finding those common goals, like we said here at the beginning, that you actually do have in common right now that would be, you know, a topic that you guys are both willing to engage in. And it might be a lot more surface level at first, and just trust and know that you will get to the point eventually where you can handle the deeper conversations. But even the supposedly surface level or maybe not as, you know, big deal things, you can still apply the same principle about bringing him into the conversation, asking questions, and keep asking further questions. All right, now that brings us to tip number three, which is sticking to the point.
It almost seems to me like it's a little bit opposite of what we were just saying. We were saying, okay, let's gradually get into this and then let's, you know, build it up and get into deeper stuff later. But yes, this idea of sticking to the point, I think that the previous comment is more about like, okay, where do you start with conversations right now versus maybe another conversation later? This is more about an individual conversation. I I don't know how you view this, Heather, but I think the stereotype here is that men tend to underexplain feelings, and when women tend to overexplain feelings, and men tend to be a little bit more logic oriented and to appreciate a more direct conversation about emotions in the relationship. So when I'm saying stick to the point, this is exactly what I'm talking about, is perhaps don't bring in all those past examples of why you've been upset. And perhaps don't talk about how you've had this discussion with your friend Jessica and what Jessica happens to think about your relationship. And perhaps don't bring in, you know, the example of like what happened between your husband and the kids. Like, okay, let's rein some of that in. And maybe instead of using 10 examples, maybe just one example or something. Like, let's just rein it in a little bit is what I'm saying. Would you say that's accurate at all, Heather? I could see you smiling yes. while I was making that comment. Like,
I smile because I just personally, I relate a lot to that. And I know a lot of women that would as well. And I like what Monique said here in our group question when she answered her answer is gold. She said, as women, we tend to over talk simple things. We need to be factual and say what we want and what we need. How things feel is for a different time. Is what she said there. And she also said, it's all about being in a good place to listen and share information, which is what we were talking about there with the first two tips, right? There is an author, and I cannot remember her name right now, but she talks about how women want to empty their basket at the end of the day. So basically all day long, we have like this an imaginary basket, right? Metaphor. And we're putting all this stuff into it. The kids said this, and my friend said that, and then the coworker did this. And we tend to like bottle all of this up. And then when our husband gets home, we just want to like unload the basket. And I've heard this from many men that like, they're listening to us and they're like, okay, what's the point? Okay, was that the point? And we're like, yeah. And this thing happened and that thing happened. And then the kids did this. And then I did this and I did this and blah, 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 blah. Because emotionally, she says, we just want to empty our basket so that we can feel at peace. And men are sitting there trying to figure out like, what am I supposed to remember? What's the important part? And then it's so many things that they just feel like, I don't even know like what you even want me to do or what I'm supposed to remember. And I'm afraid I'm going to get in trouble for not listening to you, right? Which a lot of women said, you feel like he's not listening. And maybe it's because we're oversharing a little too much. Maybe there's a more appropriate place to quote unquote empty our basket, because it is something that we feel like we just want to share. And as women, we tend to just share and it's just great. And we're not worried about our friend or our sister or our mom paying attention to every detail and trying to solve our problems. We know that just sharing is somehow therapeutic, I guess. And it does help us feel at peace. We just want to talk. I don't know, like women, there's also studies that show that women want to say like what, 5,000 words a day or something. Mm-hmm. And then it's like half that much.
I'll admit I even myself am guilty of that thought where my wife will be sharing her day with me and I'll be like, okay, what's the point? And she and I have a good enough relationship that I wouldn't say it in those words, but sometimes I'll ask that in a roundabout way. And sometimes my wife will say, I just wanted to share my day with you. And I have to remind myself, okay, that's right. She just wants to talk. And there doesn't have to be a point, but I have to remind myself that.
Yep. She says, men are worrying like, what's the point? What's the point? Where is she trying to go with this? And she says, there is no point. There's no point. The only point that there is just getting it out. And so if your wife, men listening to this are, wondering why does she just go on and on about all this stuff? And it's just, I don't even know what to do about it. And I do just kind of check out and I start thinking about the game or the business or the emails or whatever. Just, she talks about just holding the basket, just hold the basket and just let her dump it all out and just know that there's really no point other than she just wants to talk. So with my marriage, I tend to select a few highlights that I really want to share with Ben. And if there is a point to it, I will tell him directly. Women, this might help you. The point is this. And then he's like, got it. And I have to be really direct if I tend to start going off on all these other things. Like, the point is, I was really happy, or the point is, I would like some advice here. Because maybe you thought that you asked for advice, or you asked for his opinion, and he just got, it got lost in all the plethora of words coming out of your mouth. Okay. And so, like, you have to say, so what I'm asking here is, or what I would like here is, or just the point I'm trying to share is this thing. So I do tend to keep my dumping of the basket really short. I actually think about it before I usually see Ben, and I think about like two or three, sometimes just one, things I would love to share with him. And then I kind of just put the rest aside and say, I will just dump the basket in another way, because he doesn't need to hear all of it. It's kind of overwhelming for him. And I find it's a much better connection when I understand how his brain thinks and how my brain thinks. Sure. And then in problems, again, like you said, don't going into all the history and all of the examples and saying it 10 different ways, erring on the shorter side is usually much more effective.
Mm-hmm. For my own relationship, you know, as long as I know that my wife is just wanting to share, and that's the point, then I'm more than happy to hold that basket for her, as you put it. But yes, I do think that being a little bit more clear can help your husband be a bit more engaged in whatever conversation that you're trying to engage them with. Absolutely.
Love that. Now, ladies, if you're saying, I don't feel heard, let's go to tip 4 here, which is help him to feel heard. Very often when we feel like something's off in our relationship, our spouse may be very well feeling the same thing. And we tend to get into some situations where sharing our feelings and thoughts, belief about what is going on, and he's just a little more silent. Sometimes we put ourselves out there vulnerably, and then we feel like we're not caught, right? In the crazy trust exercise, right? And then we tend to pull away and maybe not hear or understand them as much, because we didn't feel heard or understood as well. So the stereotype there is that women can overshare and men undershare, right? That's kind of a stereotypical thing going on there. So if that's the case, then make sure you're taking time to ask him questions, be generally interested in what he has to say, and make sure you're not just listening with the intent to immediately respond or to argue or to find fault, blame. Our intent should be to understand. This one has been pivotal for me, because I don't know that I always really tried to understand him. I felt more pressure to have him understand me, mm-hmm. get my point across. And when I really actually understood where he was coming from, it changed everything.
Yeah. I see comments all the time on the internet, descriptions from men feeling like, okay, it's just easier to hold all your emotions in, and, you know, maybe you go and help other people, but we're going to hold everything in. And, you know, I think it's really easy to get into this sort of situation where, like we've been talking about, where the tendency for women is to kind of just unload their basket. Well, if you're having issues communicating or having your husband engaged in the conversation, you know, involve them a little bit and to help them to feel like their contribution to the conversation matters, and that you are actually interested in what they have to say. Even if the point is just to kind of dump some information and just to share your day, sprinkle in some questions into there, ask their opinion about some of the things that might have happened to you, or to, you know, figure out some of what's been going on in their day. But like, the whole point here is you need to engage them in the conversation. And whereas, you know, it might be easy to assume, okay, if they want to talk, they're just going to talk. And because that's how conversations with your female friends goes, and, you know, when they have something to share, they just pipe in and they share it. Well, I mean, that might not be the natural state for your husband if communication is problematic between the two of you. So just make sure that you are a little bit more conscious that you are actively engaging them and asking questions and interested in how they might view some of the things that you're sharing.
Yes. And if things are really tense and volatile right now, things are really on the, you know, the fritz of your relationship, what takes us out of that drama triangle? And if you need to go back and listen to our podcast on how to reduce tension and drama, we talk about the drama triangle and gets us out of that cycle is actually understanding. It's having accountability for our part and then gaining someone else's perspective. That's why we start with perspective in the path process. When we understand their perspective, then that takes us out of our own pain, out of our own desire to lash out or to be understood ourselves, and helps us actually give that to someone else, to give it to our spouse. And that's put you in a healthy cycle of closeness and more connection, more intimacy, more vulnerability, so that your communication is actually connecting you.
I think that has a lot to do with our tip five there. Like, you're talking about the drama triangle and clear communication in order to get out. But yeah, tip five then is to communicate clearly what it is you're asking. Make sure you clearly understand what he wants as well. I think this solves a lot of problems. Like you said, this is kind of the center of the drama triangle. We know that getting away from drama or tension or anxiety or anger or just all those negative feelings tends to require having clear agreements or clear requests. So the better that you can make your requests clear, and the better that you can make sure that his, you know, requests are clear as well, I think you're going to do a lot better. I mean, this really connects to some of the other suggestions as well. Like we were just talking about a moment ago, men tend to prefer things a little bit more to the point, a little bit more direct. This is kind of a continuation of that idea. I don't know. Do you see this as well? I mean, this seems to me like we're talking about how to communicate to your husband. This seems like much more of a general principle that really kind of applies to everyone, right?
Right. Yeah. These clear requests are really important. For me, it's getting clarity in myself about what I'm actually wanting, what I'm actually needing, what the common goal is, and, you know, where my husband's coming from, what he's wanting, what he's needing, and what his goal is. And then when we find out that we actually have a similar goal, then we can work together on that. Stereotypically, you know, men tend to be more task and systems oriented, and women tend to be a little more relationship oriented, right? Meaning men will tend to appreciate knowing what is expected and then specifics about what can be done. That tends to work really well for a lot of men. And I think that brings us really well to point six, tip six here, which is make it rewarding when there is cooperation. Mm-hmm. I've learned this as well. So when I ask my husband a question and he responds, sometimes I have to say, I appreciate you sharing that. It was really fun to talk about this with you. I really appreciate being heard. I really appreciate you helping me solve this problem and showing some of that gratitude. I loved our conversation last night. That felt so fun, or that felt really good to be able to share so openly, and making sure that we appreciate our partner's efforts in being engaged in that conversation. So are we actually being appreciative of their efforts? Are we even seeing them? And if we are, then let's take a pause and let them know that. One of my mentors that I really admire said, praise what you want repeated. And that's really shifted things for me. Instead of being unhappy or nagging or complaining about the things I don't want, when he actually does the things I do want, reward him for that. Like, give him some praise, give him some kudos, give him some appreciation. And he just lights up and he will go to the moon and back to do more of that for me. Cause I know that at the end of the day, most men want the women in their lives to be happy. It's true. Like, most men do. They have like two primary objectives: to make money and make the women in their lives happy. Stereotypical, but there's a lot of truth to that. And so when you give them that reward, it will encourage them to want to do it even more.
I'll tell you, like, you know, going along with this, it would just, for me, I'm going to speak from the male perspective. If my wife came and said, hey, I really want to just tell you about my day, but then I really want to do something that you're really interested in together. You know, mm-hmm. here is this conversation that she would want me engaged in. And like, it seems almost odd to like talk about it as a reward, like, but like, this goes into those kind of stereotypes where, okay, the stereotype is women are connecting around emotions and conversation, and men tend to prefer shared activities. I definitely noticed that within my own marriage that is true. And if my wife were to approach me and say, hey, I want to talk about this, but I'd also really like to rub your back while we have this conversation, I am right there. Or if she said, I'd really like to talk, you know, and share my day, and then I want to do this other thing for you. I want to go out and have an adventure, go out on a date, or, you know, watch this movie with you, or do whatever. I'm going to be right there and very engaged in that conversation, because I don't know, it feels like my wife is being mindful of the things that, you know, the ways that I appreciate connecting with her as well.
Yeah.
So it is very much this principle of, okay, if you want that conversation, make sure that it's going to be rewarding. And, you know, the conversation itself, while if everything is good, great. Your husband probably wants to have that conversation with you. I'm just going to say, hey, it's going to be more rewarding if there are other pieces, you know, like there's this other side to it as well. If there's the shared activities, or there's the things that are a little bit more rewarding for him.
Yeah. So ladies, let's make sure your husband knows it when we appreciate their cooperation, when we appreciate them having a difficult conversation with us or being engaged. So again, communicate that with our appreciation, maybe even directly link a favor that we're providing, helping meet some of their needs, like Mark talked about, with our actions for their cooperation, right? And we can even make some of those heavy conversations light, playful. You can bring in some humor, some laughter. It's going to help raise the energy and the endorphins as well. And even maybe a bit of flirtation. And that brings us to tip 7, our sandwich strategy.
I mean, this is not just like conversations between husband and wife. I know I've heard this elsewhere. I can't remember what the context is, but I'm pretty sure most people have heard of like a sandwich strategy. I think we talk maybe in like written correspondence is part of how it is as well. But, you know, it's starting out positive, maybe then having like the feedback or the heavier items, if you need to talk about heavier items, and then ending positive as well. You know, especially if you're ending positive, playful, flirty, perhaps even sexual, I bet that your husband will be more than happy to have more conversations like that if that's how you're ending. Not to get into too many details, but if my wife is ending a conversation like that and is being very flirtatious afterward, you can bet I'm going to be there next time very, very much engaged in the conversation. So, yeah, I mean, I think everyone appreciates this sort of approach. Is it, you know, that starting good, you know, then dealing with stuff that you need to and ending good. Everyone's going to appreciate that sort of approach. Would you agree?
Yes, I absolutely agree. And this might be a huge pattern interrupt if your conversations have been very far from this. Again, remember that all of these things are things that you can learn. They are skills that you can learn and new habits that you can develop, and it will start to change everything for you. And we will be happy to help you along the way. All right. So I'm going to share with you guys now, or you ladies, 3 phrases to help spark his interest. So we're going to take the culmination of the principles that we just learned, the tips that we just went over, and I put these down into 3 phrases that you can try out, depending on where you are, and making sure it's at the right level for wherever you are in your marriage. Okay. So first one is, I'm really interested in something about them. Notice something about them. I'm really interested, and I really love how you are so engaged with the kids. It makes me really interested to learn what you're doing with this goal that you're working on. I'm really interested to see, you know, why you're so motivated, what motivates you about working on your fitness and maybe competing in that challenge or something. So it's making something specific that you noticed about them and showing them that you're interested in that. Maybe it's a hobby. Maybe it's something like, maybe you've been like brushing it off, or you maybe even been jealous that they spend so much time doing that thing, golf, or I don't know, whatever it is, but actually show like, I'm actually really interested in how you got into that sport. I'm really interested in, you know, what led you to do that, and showing some interest in them. As we show interest in them, it is always reciprocated. We are always interested in people that are interested in us. That's a general human thing. Male, female, doesn't really matter. But you remember when you're in like middle school and you found out that someone had a crush on you and you didn't even like notice them before, but then all of a sudden you're like, oh, I think he's really cute, right? Why? Because they showed some interest in you. So by you showing interest first, it will help to spark his interest in you. Second one, I appreciate blank about you. Again, we talked about appreciating when they are listening, appreciating when we do feel heard, but whatever it is that we appreciate about them, that's genuine and sincere. And we want to make sure it is something that we actually do appreciate, and letting them know that. Again, that gratitude is so healing, and it helps to open up doors and reduce some of the barriers that might be between you. It might be something that you need to take in context with where you're at right now, but you could say, I appreciate that you're wanting to spend extra time with our son at this time. I know it means a lot to him, right? And that might be something that's totally appropriate for where you're at right now. If you're a little bit closer and more connected, you can say, you know, I appreciate that I can share so openly with you and that we can have such an amazing time, you know, and again, the more specific, the better. And then the third one is, I feel safe with you. I just did a YouTube video about how to become irresistible to a man. And this is one of the biggest things that men love it when we tell them we feel safe with them. And when we reward what we want repeated, right? Praise what you want repeated. You do want to feel safe with him. He does naturally, instinctually want to protect you and have you be happy. And so when you say, I feel safe with you, he will go to the moon and back to do more things to help you feel even safer with him. So try out one of these, leave a comment, let us know how it goes. We read every single one of your comments. Would love to see how this helps you in your marriage. Now, if you're wanting more help with this, we have a totally free marriage assessment that we can do with you. And you can get that at highthrivecoaching.com/apply. Fill out the quick form and we will do an analysis of where your communication is at currently and how you can start to learn some new skills to get some new results, to learn the things that you just haven't been taught up until now, but now you can learn them. All right, awesome. Let's go to our marriage mythbuster. Our marriage mythbuster is that in your marriage, you should never feel rejected. I should never feel rejected by my husband. If he loves me, if our marriage is good, then there's no elements of rejection. Mark, what is your take on this?
Well, I mean, like the idea behind it seems to make sense. I mean, you're not in a relationship to feel rejection. I mean, that's clearly kind of the opposite of why people are in most, you know, for the most part are in relationships. But that kind of goes out the window when you really look at long-term stable relationships. You know, there's a lot of ebb and flow to relationships. And I, you know, as an example, I might not always 100% of the time want to spend every single minute with my wife when she wants to spend time with me, or vice versa. I think we're all kind of aware of this principle that it's okay for there to be some amount of rejection. I mean, we have these stereotypes of men chasing after their wives and the wives faking headaches and saying that they don't want to, you know, have that romantic evening or whatever it happens to be. We kind of understand that it's there without really actually talking about the principle behind it, that, hey, to a certain extent, there needs to be some ability to have some autonomy and some free will and some ability to say no sometimes. Mm-hmm. And that there needs to be some room for there to be a yes at other times. Basically, this comes down to the, you know, if I were to talk about like what the principle is here that makes it healthy, is that, you know, there should be some ability to provide feedback. And if, but if you really hold on to this idea that there should never be rejection, you're saying, no, there should not ever be feedback within the relationship, that at any given point, your partner should want to be with you, you know, whenever it is that you wish. You know, most of the time, partners really, in my experience, when if everything's going well, most, you know, partners aren't really trying to intentionally reject the other person. They're simply perhaps needing a little bit of space, needing a bit of time to themselves, or needing to recover in some way. And it's not necessarily rejection. So like what we're getting at here is, it is okay to reject sometimes. Does this mean that you shouldn't address feeling rejected? That's not the case either. I said a moment ago, like the principle behind this, you know, the healthy principle is that feedback is okay. Whether it is feedback that you says that I need a little bit of space and I'd like some ability to reject right now, or whether that is feedback that says, hey, I'm feeling rejected, and when can I not feel rejected? That's the healthy underlying principle, is the ability to have these conversations. So the best situation is where you can come to an agreement where you can each get what you are looking for. So that this idea, you should never feel rejected, is not even the right, not even the right question, not even the right problem at all. It's this other thing over here. It's this issue of feedback. And that's what I have to say about that.
Love it. Awesome. Thank you so much, Mark. Thank you guys for listening. If you liked this video, if you found it helpful, give us a thumbs up, comment what stood out to you the most. Let us know how your communication with your husband is going. Any barriers that you have that you want feedback on, we will respond to every single comment. Make sure you subscribe here to our channel on YouTube if you want more videos on how to have a thriving marriage, no matter what. And next week, we're going to share with you communication 101 again on the opposite side, how to communicate with your wife, and four phrases to melt her heart. If she's being a little bit of Elsa, Snow Queen on you and feeling really cold and distant, this one's definitely going to be for you guys. Thank you all for watching, and we cannot wait to see your marriage thrive.
All right. See you, everyone.
Thanks for listening to The Thriving Marriage, your A to Z blueprint for not just surviving marriage, but thriving. Until next time, my friends, thrive on.